You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
So we're in the Unwrapped series, our Christmas series, and I'm going to get right into it because I have a pretty good message, I hope. I have not preached, you guys, since our political series where I had my timeout chair. I gave away my November preach to my husband. I was like, babe, will you preach for me? I was busy that week. So I haven't been up here since October, so I feel a little rusty. So cheer me on. I won't be needy, but I do feel a little bit like, oh, I'm a little nervous. So Unwrapped series. Okay, so recently we were in Australia at a conference. Pastor Leanne and me were there, and we were in this, it was a church conference, but they had this portion of the meeting where they had someone that was just in the business world. It was someone who wasn't a Christian yet. She wasn't a believer yet, but she was sharing about her business and what was happening and everything. And she was saying she had started, her name is Lisa Messenger. She started the Collective magazine. And she said she started the magazine in Australia when the market was at its worst. She launched out and started the Collective magazine. And she is now currently the most successful Australian magazine. She is flourishing. She is thriving when so many other magazines and companies are going out of business. And she was talking about how she was marketing her magazine and everything. And she was asked this question. She said, what advice would you give to us, the church, about how we can better communicate our message and get our message out there? And she began talking about how she strategized how she was going to market her magazine. And she said she was going after the same audience that read and purchased magazines like The Cosmopolitan and things like that. So that kind of magazine, those are the target audience she was going for. So she said, so I knew if I wanted these people to pick up my magazine instead of theirs, it had to look really appealing on the cover. It had to look like those magazine if I was going to attract them to possibly pick up mine. So she said she kind of had to trick people into picking up her magazine by looking and appearing like the others. But she said, but once they opened it, they could see something much different inside. No smut, no sleaze, no foul language, beautiful photos that were unphotoshopped, stories of real people, real breakthrough, and everything like that. So she said she had to trick people into being able to pick up the magazine so they could open it and find such depth and beauty inside. And so she said to the church, she said, what you are doing here is amazing. You could tell God was moving on her heart at this conference. And she said, this is fantastic. Like, what you're doing is incredible. But she said, I think how you guys are trying to sell it isn't working. She said, if I'm out, I've been out at, you know, events with my friends, and a random person that I've never met will just march up to me and invite me to their church. She says, honestly, I just think you're weird. She says, what's happening here is so powerful and so relevant, but she says how people are talking about it and presenting it doesn't make it seem powerful or relevant. And so I think as Christians, we need to get really good about how we're presenting the gospel message, Christianity, to people if we're ever going to win our city, our family, and our friends for Jesus. Amen? Yeah. So the title of my message tonight is Packaging Matters. Packaging Matters. I love this quote. It says, the greatest story ever told isn't the greatest story being told. And we know it's the story that surrounds this beautiful Christmas season. It's, you know, I love the lights. I love the decorating cookies. I love the Christmas carols. I love it all. I love it all. I love Christmas. But it's not just about that. For us as believers, we know it's so much more than that. It's Jesus being born, our Savior being born. And that's what we're celebrating on Christmas, the birth of Jesus. Matthew 1:21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And that's what we're celebrating this Christmas season. Jesus submitted himself to his creation. He didn't come as a man, he came as a baby, and he was born at Christmas time, and that's what we're celebrating. And I love it. Jesus came as a baby, but his birth was so incredibly powerful, it split time in half. BC and AD, before Christ and after his death, which is in the year of our Lord. How incredible is that? The birth of Jesus split time in half. He was fully God, fully man, perfect, sinless, and he lived 33 incredible years on this planet before he went to the cross to die for our sins and take our place so that we can be saved. Christmas means so much more to us as believers. Without Jesus, we have no Christmas to truly celebrate. We have no church. We have no Christianity. We are celebrating the birth of Jesus. Jesus is the greatest gift of all. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable, and other translations it says, indescribable gift. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, which is referring to what we have in Jesus Christ. And it's an unspeakable gift because there are really no words that can properly describe all that we have in Jesus. We have so much in the gift of Jesus. In Psalms 103, 1 through 5, it reminds us just a few of the things we have in Jesus, our Savior. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. In Jesus, we have salvation, we have joy, we have peace, we have redemption, we have protection, we have provision, we have healing. We have so much, and it's an indescribable gift in Jesus. There is no word that can encompass the gift we have in him. And it's a gift that does not go out of style. The gift of Jesus is never gonna go out of style. It's never gonna get old, and we're gonna give it to Goodwill. It's a gift that will last for eternity. And eternal salvation never goes out of style. This Christmas season, I love what Pastor Matt was sharing earlier, and it was the same thought I had when I was preparing this message. I love the Christmas season, and I believe it is a time where people's hearts are more open to receiving the gospel message, to hear about Jesus. Why? Exactly what Pastor Matt said. It's because the Bible says we enter his courts with praise. People have no idea, but as they're listening to carols in the malls and everywhere they go, they don't even know that they're praising Jesus. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. And my favorite, Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? It's amazing. So thank you, UTC, Mission Valley, Fashion Valley Mall. You are proclaiming the gospel to our city as people are shopping for their Christmas gifts. It's amazing. Can you imagine? People are singing these songs. They are hearing these songs. It is penetrating their heart. Their hearts are being opened and they don't even know it. They're being softened to the gospel message of Jesus. It's beautiful. So tonight I want to share about how we can present the gift of Jesus in a way that people will receive it. Because packaging matters. My first point, the message of Jesus needs to be wrapped in relevance. It needs to be wrapped in relevance. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. The Lord looks at the heart, but people look at the outward appearance. It was just like Lisa Messenger was saying. So in her words, and I'm not saying we necessarily trick people, but she said she had to trick people. She had to convince them that her magazine was worth picking up. So she made it look just right to appeal to the customer so they truly would find the beauty inside. And isn't that about Christianity? We need to wrap our message in relevance so people will pick it up. And I know, we know at C3 Church that what is inside really matters, but we're never going to be able to change someone's insides if we can't appeal to them to get their outward bodies into this building. So this is why I love our church. We understand this. It's you. This may answer some questions that you have, why we do the things that we do, why we worship the way we worship, why we have crazy lights and people are jumping and it's loud and we have haze / the Holy Spirit, you know, and that's why we worship the way we do. We're trying to be relevant to reach a generation. It's why we spend money, our time, and our resources on having state-of-the-art equipment. It's why we make our building look excellent. It's why, this is why we look the way we look. Pastor Jurgen says, if we look irrelevant, people will think our message is irrelevant. If we look irrelevant, they will think our message is irrelevant. There was a survey, and one of the top three reasons young people said they don't attend church, they said what was presented seemed irrelevant to their lives. So to get people to hear the gospel message, we must portray the cover and appeal to them. And we're not here to just appeal to them and entertain our young people, but we are here to win their hearts, and we have to communicate in a way that they understand. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 9:22, I have become all things to all people that by all means I might save some. Amen. You know, the church is always one generation away from extinction. We must go after the next generation. That's why we have a rocking kids church program. That's why we have My City Youth. That is why we have Society and College Ministries. It's why we have Prime Ministry. We are a church of the generations, the Father or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We have things for all generations, and our Prime Ministry is just kicking off. It's for the 50 plus. They're having a Christmas party on December 15th. Thank you. You are welcome for your plug. You get out there and you get the information online. You're going to have so much fun. But, and this is one of the reasons why we do Twisted, why we invest so much time and so much money into a production like this. Because there are people, and people think we're crazy that we do what we do. People think we're crazy that we spend 3 months, night after night after night, and all the money we do to put on Twisted. But we do it because we need to be able to reach people in a relevant way. There are so many people that refuse to step foot in a church. But they will receive an invitation to come to a Christmas musical production done to 80s music. Everybody likes 80s music. If you don't, I think we need to pray for you. Everybody loves 80s music. An example, my neighbor Larry. Larry, you're laughing because he was the one that called me fat. You guys remember that story. He's my 75-year-old neighbor who's recently divorced. And yes, he did call me fat about 6 months ago. Well, not fat. He just asked me when I was expecting. And then when I explained that I wasn't expecting, I was just lazy and didn't work out because I was trying to fix the situation, make it less uncomfortable. Then he started to show me how to do some stomach exercises. Yeah, in his car behind his steering wheel. And he was giving me dieting tips. Yeah, it was really bad. And then when he finally realized what was happening, and he was just digging himself a hole, he goes, oh, I'm so sorry for pointing out the unexpected weight gain. Like, oh my gosh! Now every time I see him, I'm like, no, but honestly, I was like upset for like a second, and but you know what? I had to overlook the offense because I want him to know Jesus. Because I am a nice person. So Larry is adamantly opposed to coming to church. Over the years, we've invited him to church, and he's a harsh no. It's like not even an entertainment of a conversation about it. So we've had to be really creative. I'm like, well, I'm not giving up on him. I'm going to just keep loving him in little different ways, because one day he may be in the house. Well, he will be in the house of God. And so what I do, I just kept the door of invitation open. I didn't keep inviting him to church, but I did different things. We offered him, you know, some barbecue and things like that after his wife left. And then I always make myself available to him when he's walking by and we chat about his circumstances that he's going through. And we got him a pie for Thanksgiving. And then, so you're just like keeping the relationship going. And then I just called him and I said, I have two tickets to a musical production. It's an 80s musical and I'd love to give them to you for Christmas. And he is so incredibly excited because he invited his high school prom date. He is pumped. He is pumped. And he's like, oh, get me the 8 o'clock show because I'm going to take her to dinner and then a show. It'll be a big win. I'm like, yes, it will. Yes. But you know what I didn't say? Will you come to my church for a Christmas show? That's not what I said. And it's not that I'm embarrassed to say it's at my church, but here's the thing. Sadly, people have a really bad impression of church a lot of times. So it's not something that I lead with when I'm trying to get someone to come. And basically, people's impression of church is just based on their prior experience, right? And so when they're meeting you, let me just throw this out there. When they're meeting you, are you reinforcing their negative thoughts about the church? Or are you giving them a new vision of what a real Christian looks like? So basically, what I mean is, don't be lame. Be awesome. Okay, but I still haven't told them it's at a church. Minor detail. Don't judge me. He has the address, he knows it's a great show, and he has tickets. I'll probably mention it before he arrives when it's too late for him to turn around. But I'm just saying, when I extended the invitation, I did not lead with, come to my church. Again, not because I'm not proud of my church. It's because people don't understand what pride we have in our church and how special it is to have what we have here. So can I just encourage you? Twisted is such an incredible opportunity to get someone into the house of God. And like I said, we're not going to be shoving the gospel down their throat. It's so beautifully subtle, yet so powerful. So I hope to God there's not one empty seat in the building, and each and every one of you don't just get tickets for yourself, but for somebody else. Because just imagine what God's going to do in that moment when he's touching their hearts, watching the story of redemption over a man's life. It's beautiful. So we need to package the gospel message in a relevant way. The second thing, the message of Jesus needs to be wrapped in kindness. It needs to be wrapped in kindness and love. John 13:35 says, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. They'll know we're Jesus' disciples if we love one another. And in a world where kindness and genuine care can get really it can really take a backseat in the busyness of our own lives. But truly, an act of genuine care or concern can open someone's heart to receiving Jesus, to hearing about Jesus. So do we have time for those heavenly interruptions? Those heavenly interruptions where God wants to use you to minister to someone in your world, to be his hands and feet. I love the quote, Christ has no body on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ's compassion for the world is to look out. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you or beg you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We're his official representatives on this earth. We are his only representatives on this earth. And it says that he is making his appeal for salvation through us. Can you imagine the passion that Christ himself would use if he was making his appeal to us? He loves us so much that he died on a cross in our place and took our punishment. Do you believe if Jesus Christ could stand in front of humanity and compel them to to come to know him as their savior. Can you imagine the passion he would use after what he had suffered? But guess what? He can't embody flesh, but we can. He can't stand before those people, but we can. And with that passion and with that excitement about our savior, we can compel people to come to know Jesus. Do we leave time for God moments in our lives? And how do we respond when they actually present themselves? Romans 2:4 says, it's God's kindness that leads people to repentance. So kindness leads people to repentance. This last week, we're having our Twisted rehearsals, and a few of the cast members didn't have an opportunity to get dinner, so I was going to grab dinner, and I just said, hey, where do you go? I'll just go wherever you want me to go. Just tell me where to go. And so they said, go to Panera Bread down the way. And so I got to Panera Bread, and we got the food, and I got back in my car, and I thought I heard like a baby screaming. And so I like checked my phone and the radio because it just was very piercing. And I'm like looking around. I'm like, what is that noise? And then the car right here, I could see there was a car seat. But I'm like, oh my gosh, is there like a stranded baby in the car? So I get out of my car. And then when I noticed that there was actually a woman slumped over her steering wheel. And the wailing was coming from her. And so I had this opportunity. I'm like, oh my gosh, like this is kind of, what do I do? And I was like, but I can't leave. She's really upset. And so I was just like, okay. So I was just like on her window and I was like, and she was just like, she rolled around. She was like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And she's, why? I'm like, why are you sorry? What's wrong? What's wrong? And so she just like, she just, you know, began to tell me about a horrible situation she is in. Something horrible has happened in her world. So I'm literally like practically inside her car, and I'm like holding her hand and I'm rubbing her shoulder, and she keeps apologizing for falling apart. I'm like, oh my gosh, you should be falling apart. It's fine. So we're just talking and then we're kind of laughing. And then I was just like, what can I do? What can I do? And she just goes, can I hug you? And I'm like, yes. So she gets out of her car and we literally hugged and cried in the parking lot at Panera Bread for at least 3 minutes. And I just started like just telling her that she had a future and a hope. And I know it's really hard right now, but God's going to heal your heart. And I was just like over and all these scriptures were coming to my mind. And she literally stopped me and she goes, are you a real person? I was like, yes. God loves you. And so I did it. And she and I mentioned I was a pastor and she goes, but you're so pretty. Oh my God. And so I was able to pray for her and she's going to come to church and we've been texting and I'm calling her tomorrow to see what show she wants to be at for Twisted. And so I'm just saying like it makes me just want to cry to think what could have possibly happened if I didn't respond in that moment. That act of genuine care and concern just opens people's hearts to Jesus. God's love for people being shown through us is so incredibly powerful. You know, the gospel isn't confusing. When people hear the gospel, they actually usually want to receive it. What's confusing, it's not the gospel, it's us. They're confused by a gospel that preaches love, but then shows so little of it. We need to package the gospel message in kindness and love. It was that moment for me. It was that, you know, the old school saying, the WWJD, like, what would Jesus do? Oh my gosh. And I sat there, I was like, Jesus would not walk away from this situation. I think sometimes we need to bring a little bit back of that WWJD when we're in situations. And can I tell you, those situations a lot of times are wrapped up in inconvenience and awkwardness. I was totally awkward, like knocking on someone's window in a parking lot. It was totally awkward. But we have to push back that awkwardness and we have to look past the inconvenience of it because there are God-ordained opportunities that he has for each and every one of us each and every day when we're out in a hurting world. We have the answers to every human problem on the planet and you are his ambassador of kindness and love. So we need to package the gospel in kindness and love so people's hearts will be open to receive the gift of Jesus. Amen. Number 3, the message of Jesus needs to be wrapped in generosity. It needs to be wrapped in generosity. I've shared this story before, but I was shopping with my kids and we were approaching a store and there was a homeless man laying on the ground. And, you know, I've told you it was the worst state I've ever seen a human being in my life, covered in dirt and sores, and there was pus coming out of his feet. It was horrible. And in that, obviously, like, I knew I needed to do something. And so we didn't have anything with us at the time, so we went quickly. And I was like, I can't just, like, approach him empty-handed. Like, I can't just, like, walk up to him. And so, and I knew I had to go get something for him. So we went and got some food and some drinks like that because I didn't want to approach him empty-handed, because if I just, I knew God wanted me to tell him he loved him, but if I would have just said, God loves you, and not meet his needs and walk away, I would want nothing to do with that God. Yeah. Nothing to do with that God that tells me of how much Jesus loves me but did not show me. And so the Bible actually says this very thing in James 2, 15 through 17. It says, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So that day, we gave him about $30 worth of food and drinks. And can I tell you, after we gave him the food and drinks and spent a little bit of time talking with him, he received Jesus as his savior that day on a curbside outside of a store. $30 for him meant that day his salvation. $30, what I could have bought myself for that $30 is nothing in comparison of what that $30 did for him. We are blessed to be a blessing, and it is truly better to give than to receive. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. When I was reading this scripture this week, the word for stood out to me like I have never noticed it before. I'm like, God, are you telling me that if I'm willing to give to good works, you're going to make sure I have an abundance for every good work? That's exactly what the scripture is saying. Bible says he's going to make sure in all sufficiency and grace, he's going to make sure that you have an abundance so you can give to every good work. It's not just so we can have more for ourselves, but absolutely God wants us to live a blessed, prosperous life. But he wants to give us more for good works. And so if you're thinking, I don't really have anything to give, well, maybe you don't have anything to give because you haven't started giving. Because the Bible says when you give, you shall receive. It doesn't say once you receive, then you can give. You have to give first. You have to activate generosity and giving before you're going to receive anything. The Bible says that if you sow into other things, you will reap. You don't wait to reap so you can sow. You have to start sowing first. You have to start sowing first. And 1 Timothy 6:18, and in this scripture, he's speaking to those who have financial resources. It says, let him do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And again, the ready to give stood out with me. And I know I'm sharing some homeless stories, so I'll talk about that later. But I have another story, being ready to give. Because I was a first-year graduate college student. I made $860 a month at my first job. And every day when I was going to work, the same homeless man was on the on-ramp. And I didn't have a whole lot of extra cash to give him every day. But it's still, you know, it's awkward. Like every day you see the same person and then you just like, you act like you don't see him. And so I was like, well, I can't really give you money, but what could I do? I was never ready to give because I never had anything on me. So I determined that I was going to be ready to give. And so every day, so I couldn't necessarily give him money, but when I made my lunch every day for work, I just made two. I made two lunches every day. And every day I would hand him his lunch out the window and I would put little notes in it and I would just tell him how much God loved him. Every single day we would have a conversation when I gave him his lunch, just, you know, as you're like approaching the stoplight. So we couldn't get into too much, but I was able to give him resources and reading materials and things like that. But I was fully able to share the gospel with him. And I had a relationship with the homeless person on an on-ramp for like 6 months. So every day, and then I was like, I can't not make a lunch today because that's just awkward. Every day I have a lunch. So I was committed. But I was ready to give. I had a plan to give, to be generous. So what does that look like for you? Being willing to be generous is one thing, but being prepared to give is a whole nother thing. So I've actually, God's been speaking to me and I haven't told my husband this, but what I actually want to do is be prepared. I want to have things in my car. I want to have Bibles. I want to have books. I want to have Starbucks cards. I want to have little gift packs, blankets, beanies, gloves, things like that. So I'm prepared. So whenever an opportunity presents itself, I can bless somebody. I want to be prepared to give because generosity and kindness opens people's hearts to the gospel. So again, and this isn't just to be generous towards the homeless. Absolutely, we need to be generous towards those who aren't able to care for themselves. But the Bible says in Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Be generous, especially to those who are of the family of believers. And I couldn't think of a more beautiful time to be generous to people in God's house this Christmas season, those people who are maybe struggling financially right now, and people who, the single moms, the single dads, who maybe aren't able to get all the things, you know, they need to for their little ones this Christmas season. So ask God, be ready, be prepared. God, what would you have me do this Christmas season? And you may think, I can't even cover my own Christmas list. Well, let me remind you that the Bible says, when you sow, you shall reap. You give and you shall receive. So if you're maybe in a little bit of a lack, I challenge you, I encourage you to step out and be generous and see what God does in that moment of generosity. Generosity is so attractive, so let's wrap the gospel of Jesus in generosity. The message, number four, the message of Jesus needs to be wrapped in faith. It needs to be wrapped in faith. You know, approaching Christmas, those of you parents could probably sympathize with me. You know how your kids make their Christmas list? So every day the list keeps growing, and but I'm already done shopping. But anyways, so Henley, she wants a Barbie car, she wants a bike and a scooter, Masham, Shopkins, Blind Bags, Prize Eggs. Like, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I'm telling you, every day the list grows. And then my boys, they wanted this crazy goat cart thing for like $500, which they're not getting. And they want an Xbox. They wanted an iPhone, a golden retriever. And if you know me, Not a pet person. I think they're cute. I don't dislike it. I just don't want it to touch me. God's working on me. Pastor Jurgen was trying to convince me and to, he told my boys today, I was like, well, maybe Pastor will go down to the little pet shop and give you a dog. And I just go, yeah. And then you could counsel them after I give it away and they're crying. Pastor Jurgen is sending me photos of dogs. How can you not love this face? And I'm just like, it's easy. So every day, I mean, they're cute. It's fine again, but I just don't really want to touch it. So I am nice though. I'm a nice person. If you're mean to an animal, I will defend the animal. Okay, I am nice. But anyway, so these Christmas lists are growing and growing. Every day, every commercial that comes on, we want that. And so they're riding on their list again. I'm like, oh, Jesus, help me. And so I felt the need last week to manage their expectations a little bit because there's nothing worse than sad faces on Christmas, right? And so I sat them down and I said, okay, guys, it's going to be a wonderful Christmas. You are going to get so many wonderful things. Mommy and Daddy has so many great things planned for you. But just because you put it on the list does not necessarily mean that Mommy or Daddy or Santa are going to get that for you. So I just need you to understand that you may not get everything on your list, okay? So I just really felt the need to manage their expectations so they weren't disappointed. And as I'm sharing this with them, managing their expectations, I felt the Holy Spirit say, how many of us believers take that same approach with our faith? We feel we need to manage people's faith expectations or manage our own instead of just believing the word of God. So when people tell you the miraculous things they're believing for, the healing or this or that, whatever they're believing for, do you find yourself standing and agreeing with them in faith? Is the gospel message that you're presenting wrapped in faith? Or are you trying to just bring them back down to reality and tell them how they're going to walk through it if it doesn't happen? How about we just stand in agreement and believe with them and stand on the word of God and believe that all things are possible? There'll be time later if things don't happen, but right now what they need is agreement, and what they need now is you to support them and stand with them in faith. You know, recently, just a couple weeks ago, a great friend of mine from college made a Facebook post, and she posted that her daughter, who I think is around 10 or 11, was going to be going in for, she has a genetic condition with her bones that could be crippling when she's later. And so the only option at this point was to do the surgery. So she was just asking for prayer. They were going to operate on one leg, be in a cast, 6 months of recovery, and then physical therapy, and then they were going to do the other leg, and then they were just kind of like hoping it would all work out. And they're believers, and so I texted her and I said, hey, would you be open to having John and I coming to pray? Because I want to stand with you and believe with you that you don't even have to go through the surgery, and we'll just pray for the miraculous if you would allow us to do that. And she came back with this response. She just said, you know, I'm just thinking about it, and I think we probably are not going to take you up on your offer because I don't want to confuse her. She said, we've accepted the reality that the surgery is her best bet. And then she said, praying for miracles is kind of foreign to them, that their church teaches more of the process instead of the miracle. But then she did thank me for the reminder that all things are possible with God. And I said it gave her the opportunity to talk to her daughter that an option would be that she could be healed. And if I'm being honest, there is no judgment like from me to her, because if I'm being honest, I used to be that Christian as well. That was the level of my faith. I believed more in the process instead of the miracle. And we're all on our own faith journey. And that was just how much faith she had at the moment to believe for that. And but it just reminded me, how we need to be a people of faith. Yes. We need to be a people of faith to stand and fight the good fight of faith. To believe, to pray bold prayers, to stand on the word of God. The problem is so many of us have experienced disappointments in our life. So we've reduced God's power and faithfulness to our experience and our disappointments instead of remembering that we need to base our belief on what the word of God says. We need to believe the word of God, not our circumstances. And I believe it's a mandate for C3 Church. It's our mission to believe with people, to pray, to have faith for the miraculous. The more and more I hear, so many churches don't pray and believe for the miraculous. And there are so many people that that's all they have left is the hope for the miraculous. Doctors have told them that nothing can work. People need the miraculous. They need faith. So when people are diagnosed with cancer, when people's bodies are riddled with disease, when people are struggling with addictions, when people are not able to conceive babies, what they don't need is our comfort and a casserole. They need the power of God. They need the power of God. He is ready. He is able. He is willing to heal. When Jesus walked the earth, he was doing the will of the Father. And everyone that came to Jesus received salvation and healing, and not necessarily in that order. We have a mission at C3 Church, a mandate to be people of faith. I want people to say, oh my gosh, that C3 Church, there are signs and wonders and miracles coming out of that place. When people need a miracle, they're not going to call the Ghostbusters. They're going to call you because you have the faith to believe and to stand with them and declare the word of God over their lives. Amen? Amen. Romans 8:11 says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us. We are ambassadors and carriers of that power. We need to be able to stand in faith with people and not reduce our faith to the reality of the situation. We are believers. We have nothing if we don't believe. We're called believers. It's because we're supposed to believe. And I'm kind of being a turkey, but I mean, I don't want people to feel bad if they haven't been able to believe in the past for things. But what I'm telling you is, the God of the universe, who put all of the stars into space with a few, it says, and he also made the stars. That is one of my favorite verses, because something so miraculous was just like encompassed in a few little words. God is so huge. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. When he says all things are possible, he actually means that. All things are possible. We need to be a people of faith. Believe for the miraculous. That, God, signs and wonders, supernatural things would come out of this house. People would be healed, delivered, set free. It's our mandate. It's who we're called to be. So I pray this Christmas, that we would reevaluate how we've been presenting the gospel to people. I pray you just ask God, am I presenting it with relevance? Look for opportunities to present the gospel through kindness, through generosity, and be bold and take that step of faith and pray for the miraculous with someone, stand with someone, believe with them that all things are truly possible with God. Amen. Amen. Oh, my throat kind of hurts. I was yelling a little bit. So again, the first step, easiest step to start encompassing all these things is bring someone along to Twisted. Their life's going to be so impacted. Make sure to get those tickets and pack this place out. And then I'm praying that each and every person you invite will be in the house of God the following Sunday. And they're going to surrender their lives to Jesus. Amen. I just want to give people an opportunity to respond. So if you can just bow your heads and close your eyes. So if you're in this place and you've never received the gift of Jesus, the gift of Jesus is truly indescribable. There is no vocabulary that could encompass the greatness of our God. There's no vocabulary that can describe what he's going to do in and through your life when you receive the gift of Jesus. So if that's you in this place and you've never committed your life to Jesus and received that free gift of salvation, if you're in here, no one else is looking around, can you just lift your hand up so I can see it? I want to pray for you. I want to include you in my prayer at the end of the service. So if that's you, can you just lift your hand just so I can see it? And once I see it, you can put it down. Is there anyone like that at all? I see your hand in there in the back. Beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? I see your hand on the side over there. If your heart's racing and you're a little bit nervous, that's God trying to get your attention. He wants you to respond. Don't worry about what anyone else is thinking. Just so you know, almost everyone in this room has made this decision before, and they'd tell you that this is the best decision they've ever made. So just slip your hand up so I can see it. In the gift of Jesus, you're going to find joy. You're going to find peace. You're going to find hope. In him, there's provision. There's healing. In Jesus, you're going to find forgiveness and a fresh start. Is there anyone else like that at all that needs to receive the gift of Jesus this Christmas season? I'm just going to wait just a few more seconds. I have a feeling the Holy Spirit and God just working on hearts right now, and that's okay. When you're praying right now, I see your hand right here in the center. So proud of you, man. For those who've already made this decision, we're praying and believing right now for those that are going through a little bit of a tug of war. You know, Disney really described this perfectly. Remember the devil duck and the angel duck, one on each shoulder? If you're kind of hearing that going on in your head, the devil duck's telling you not to raise your hand, but the angel one's saying, oh, but you need to. Listen to the angel duck. Anyone else like that at all? A few more seconds. Beautiful. And we're all going to just say this prayer together. So everyone in the building, can you just repeat after me? And we're going to invite Jesus into our lives to have a fresh start and be transformed from this day forward. So can we pray together? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the gift we have in him. Today, I commit my life to you. I declare that heaven is my home, that God is my Father, and I am his child. Help me to follow you. Help me to believe for big things. And help me minister to others in my world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good. So proud of you who raised your hand. I want you to know we have a team of people that want to give you a gift. We have a great book to give you, and we just want to answer any questions that you have. So we would love, we have a response lounge over here. You can just pop in there for 2 minutes. They want to give you a gift, answer any questions that you have. And if you're not from San Diego, we want to make sure you get connected into a really great church. But if you live in San Diego, we happen to know of a pretty good one. And we'd love to see you again. But church, can we just stand to our feet? And I just want to pray for everybody. And I'd really love for those of you who raised your hand to make your way to the response lounge after this. If your friend, if you came with someone and you saw them raise their hand, encourage them to go and get their book and their Bible and be prayed for. But I just want to pray over each and every one of you. God, I thank you for this Christmas season. Lord, I thank you for what Christmas means to us. God, we thank you for your son, Jesus. God, we thank you that he came to this earth, that he lived a sinless life, that he went to the cross for our sins so we can have life eternal. We can have a hope and a future in him. God, I pray right now for open doors and opportunities for each and every person this week. Father God, I pray, God, you would give them the eyes to see those who are in their world that they can show acts of kindness to. God, they would be generous for. God, people that they need to stand in faith, believing, and pray great prayers of faith with them. Father, I pray for each and every person that a spirit of boldness would come upon them. God, we would truly be the church, that we would be the church that is willing to believe for the miraculous, that we would see signs and wonders come out of this place. God, fill each person afresh tonight, that they would be empowered to go be the church. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in the life of each and every person and for the C3 Church in San Diego. God, you are good. We love you, and we thank you for all that you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.